Thanks for tuning in to WNCW. I'm Martin Anderson, and joining me is Billy Ed Wheeler, a songwriter for many years, musician and a poet, a playwright, so many different things, and now he can add author to his list. Billy Ed Wheeler is the author of a new autobiography, Hotter Than a Pepper Sprout, A Hillbilly Poet's Journey from Appalachia to Yale to Writing Hits for Elvis, Johnny Cash, and More. The title says it all. Welcome, Billy Ed, to WNCW.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, well, great to have you here. You know, we've played various songs of yours over the years, and I must say, a lot of times answering the phone or answering emails when I'm on the air here, sir, a lot of folks say, you need to get Billy Ed Wheeler to the station sometime. You know, he just lives up in Swannanoa. You know, he's the one that wrote Jackson that Johnny Cash and June Carter had a little success with. And so it's great to finally have you here. And I'm glad for this occasion. Congratulations on your new book.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Took me a year and a half to do it. Actually, I had to rewrite it with my publisher, BMG, the music company. They said, Billy Ed, you've got 131,000 words, and that's way too many. So self-edited. I edited down myself to 113 words. They said, our editors are going to kick in now. They took it down to 87,000 words, which is what the book is now.
All right. Good. It's not too long. It's not too short. Just right. And you say it took a year and a half, though, for the whole?
Yes.
Really, though, you could say it took over 80 years to write, because it's really a whole lifetime's worth, many different decades worth of various cultural happenings and musical events and different places you've lived. You really packed a lot into that 80-something thousand word book.
Well, I actually started it in my 40s, and I got into it, and about 70 or 80 pages, it didn't feel right. I put it aside. About 15 or 20 years later, I started again, and it still didn't feel right. The editor of a book that's published, I mean a magazine out of Berea, Southern Appalachian Book, I sent him a copy of my second one, and it was about 100 pages. He got on my case. He said, Billy Ed, you're trying to sound too literary. Pretend you're sitting next to me and you're telling me your story. That's the way you want to write it. And I tried to do that.
Well, it has that kind of delivery that kind of matches your songwriting. You're a folk singer. People think, oh, the Johnny Cash Jackson song. You must be a country songwriter. And it's like as you read the book, you really are reminded that really you come from a folk song background with your song Cold Tattoo, which was, I guess, my first exposure to you when it was sung by, a college dorm mate, to be honest. My first introduction to your Cold Tattoo was from my college roommate. But then, of course, the many other folks that have covered over the years. That's a good example, I'd say, of your roots, your folk music roots from coal mining country of West Virginia. Those are your roots there.
Yeah.
And that kind of folk storytelling style is well represented here in this book.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And I guess that was intentional then.
Yes, it was intentional.
The book release event is happening at Warren Wilson College in Swannanoa on Saturday, April 7th. It's at 4 o'clock. You'll be there. Former president of Warren Wilson College, Doug Orr, will be there, and he wrote the introduction to your book. And then some musicians will be there, like Janice Ian, who wrote the foreword to your book. And it sounds like she's really fallen in love with Swannanoa, thanks to your introduction of it to her.
Yeah, I've fallen in. Warren Wilson means more to me than I can put into words. It changed my life. I came there, and I had written one song at age 10 or 12 because I was a paper boy. Scott Bomar, my editor at BMG, and he's actually head of the book division, he said, we have to include that. That's one of your songs. And since you wrote it, you can give us permission to use it in a book. And it took a lot of people, giving us okay to use my own songs.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's right. In one case, a really a large publisher, we had to pay for the use in the book of my own songs.
That's bizarre.
I know. Scott said, could you chip in half of it? I said, I'll be glad to, because we have to have those songs. They're important.
Yeah. Well, in this book of yours, this autobiography, we get some good insight into some of the various musicians who have recorded your songs. You talk about Johnny Cash a little bit, Elvis Presley, Chet Baker, all these folks that we at WNCW certainly know. But I think more than anything, well, actually, more than that, you get a lot of insight into the music industry, at least of the 1960s, when you really started getting involved in it. And that's just one of those interesting, quirky sides of the music industry, like you're talking about, having to pay them and get permission to use your own music yeah. in your book. And you really, you learn fast how to deal with that weird wild web of the music industry in New York City in the 1960s, and that's one of the main features, I'd say, in this book.
Actually, when I first started writing, I didn't know anything about publishing rights. And so the first really good song that I came up with, Lieber and Stoller, who wrote, you know, Hound Dog, just...
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me.
Yakety Yak.
Oh, I mean, I had come down from Yale, and I had an idea, but I met a man named Norman Glimble by accident. And I said, he saw me standing over to the side waiting to go in to see a manager, talent manager. And instead of going to the elevator, he walked over to me and said, "Hi, I'm Norman Glimble." I said, "I'm Billy Ed Wheeler." He said, "No kidding. My wife bought your album, your folk album. She saw it in the window. She went in and bought it, brought it home, said, 'Billy, you're a natural songwriter. You write songs like people breathe.'" I said, "Wow, thanks, Norman." He said, "But you'll never make any money at it, but you're good." I said, "Well, if I'm so natural, why can't I make any money? I need some money." He said, "Well, let me take you to a couple guys I know that make more money publishing, producing, and writing than anybody I know of. They wrote 16 songs for Elvis, produced them, and published them." And so I didn't, as I said, I didn't know anything about publishing rights. And so he did take me to those boys on Broadway in the famous Brill Building. I was really nervous. I sang them three songs, but they didn't listen to all of them. Now, it's unusual for producers that big to meet you face-to-face. They don't want to do that. They don't want to have to relate to you personally. All they want to do is hear the song. So I sang a verse and part of a chorus. They said, "Next." Same thing again. After three, they said, "Billy, you're too folksy. If you think of something commercial, you're coming down to the city from Yale. Give us a call." Well, it so happens I had been trying to write a shoot 'em up Western ballad. But I got partway into it, and I thought, I don't know anything about the West. I don't know a roan from a gelding. So I laid it aside. But fortunately, I got an email from a lady at Warren Wilson, and there was a picture of a man on horseback, John C. Campbell. He founded the John C. Campbell Folk School at Brasstown. He was not only an educator, he was a preacher. And he would go out into places where they didn't have a regular preacher. He would marry people and bury people. I said, "I think that's my hero." But then I remembered a line from Mule Train, a country song. There was a line, "There's a Bible in the sack for the Reverend Mr. Black." I said, "That's it. That's the title." So I wrote it. And it had about nine verses too long. But I got down to the city. I called Jerry. Had to wait because he was producing the Coasters, the Drifters, Peggy Lee. I mean, just tons of people. After about 20 minutes, he got on and said, "What's your idea?" I started reciting Reverend Mr. Black. Well, he listened for a while, but he didn't, no comment. But when I got to the chorus, "You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself." He started snapping. He said, "Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby." New York talk. "Yeah, baby." He said, "Bring that one to us." So I took it to him, and he sat down with Mike Stoller, his music man, and I couldn't believe it. They sat down and helped me rewrite that song personally. We got it down to 3.5 minutes. They sent their song plugger to L.A. Kingston Trio were recording at that moment. They recorded it, and within a couple of months, I had half of a hit record.
Right, because you owned half of it. Lieber and Stoller owned half, and you owned half.
Actually, I didn't own half. I owned nothing of the publisher, but they took 50% of the writer's share. But that 50% meant that I was going to have some income.
Yeah. The way you tell the story in your new autobiography is wonderful, and all the other kind of neat tales of learning fast how to survive in the world of the Brill Building and Lieber and Stoller. The book is called Hotter Than a Pepper Sprout. We're talking with Billy Ed Wheeler in advance of his big book event, Saturday, April 7th at Warren Wilson College. Let's turn to another song that you wrote back around that era, and it did pretty well also. It's not the Kingston Trio. It's Johnny Cash and June Carter on WNCW.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson, I'm gonna mess around. Yeah, I'm going to Jackson, look out Jackson Town.
We'll go on down to Jackson, go ahead and wreck your hell. Go play your hand, you big talk man, make a big fool of yourself. Yeah, go to Jackson, go comb your hair.
Honey, I'm gonna snowball Jackson,
see if I can.
When I breeze into that city, people gonna stoop and bow. All them women gonna make me teach them what they don't know how. I'm going to Jackson, you turn loose of my coat, 'cause I'm going to Jackson.
Goodbye, that's all she wrote, but they laugh at you in Jackson, and I'll be dancing on a pony keg. They'll lead you around town like a scalded hound with your tail tucked between your legs. Yeah, go to Jackson, you big talking man, and I'll be waiting in Jackson behind my J-Pan plan.
Yeah, we're going to Jackson, ain't never coming back. Well, we got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. Honey, we've been talking about Jackson.
That is, of course, Jackson from Johnny Cash and June Carter, and we're speaking with the songwriter of that one. It is Billy Ed Wheeler here on WNCW. I'm Martin Anderson, and his new autobiography, Of course, the title is taken from that song, Hotter Than a Pepper Sprout, A Hillbilly Poet's Journey from Appalachia to Yale to writing hits for Elvis, Johnny Cash, and more. I love how you talk about the music industry and such in New York City back in the 1960s in your book. You also have some neat tales about Nashville in the 60s. And above all, a lot of neat insight into Swannanoa and Warren Wilson College, because you were there in, what, the early 50s, right, in high school?
I came there in 1948. I spent 5 years at Warren Wilson. I finished 2.5 years of high school, 2.5 years of college, and I went from there to Berea College up in Kentucky.
And it just seems like both of those colleges really influenced your life in many ways. I guess that happens with a lot of folks. A lot of folks say, "Oh, college was my most formative years." But the way you paint the picture of Warren Wilson College and Swannanoa, it sounds like it's still really close to your heart and still kind of feeds your soul.
Yes, very much so. The dean of the college wrote original songs and sang them. Played the guitar left-handed, upside down. His name was Henry Jensen. I admired him so much. He would go out looking for students, like at over toward Knoxville, there was a place called Gunnertown. Well, he came back, and at one of the chapel meetings where we all got together, he sang that song, and I thought, wow, he wrote this from a life experience, and now he's standing up, performing it, playing the guitar. Gosh, I wish I could do that. That was one of my goals, to try to be like Dr. Jensen.
Yeah, all right. And the first president of Warren Wilson was Mr. Bannerman, right?
Yes, and Arthur Bannerman.
And you met his daughter sometime during then? She was just,
They didn't have an art department when I was there, but the word got out that I was interested in art. And a lady that came to eat with us, we all ate together, she was Dr. Bannerman's secretary, so she went and told him about I wanted to learn something about art. Well, first thing you know, the first lady got in touch with me and took me out to watch her paint and hear her talk about mixing paints and perspective, and took me back to the house for dinner. And this girl, who was about 8.5 years old, came sliding down the banister. Her name was Mary. That was my first sight of Mary. I think she had a gap in her teeth, and she was skinny. And well, eventually, she came to New York to live with her sister, Janet, and we started dating.
For all the tales of the music world and your songwriting in your book, Billy Ed, and the great pictures you paint of Swannanoa in the 1950s, that tale of your courtship with Mary actually is one of the main highlights to me of this book. It's a really sweet one of starting to date Mary and then eventually getting up the courage to marry her and then settling down and basically building a home, right, in Swannanoa in the 70s, and you raised your family there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I was really nervous when I asked Dr. Bannerman for permission to marry her. And Mary was in the kitchen with her mother, and it took a half an hour. I really pitched hard. And I told him, I said, I finally have enough money to support us. And so he said, okay. And then the girls came out, and we clapped and shook hands and cried. It was a great moment.
Talking with Billy Ed Wheeler here at WNCW. I'm Martin Anderson. His new book is Hotter Than a Pepper Sprout. He's releasing it officially on Saturday, April 7th at Warren Wilson College. The event starts at 4 o'clock with Janice Ian and some local musicians like Underhill Rose and the Whitewater Bluegrass Company, and others will be there too. Let's get to another tune that you wrote, Mr. Wheeler. This is High Flyin' Bird, and I know the Richie Havens version. I guess a lot of folks do, but you have said that his version is not your favorite because he kind of changed the words around and it ended up kind of changing the whole meaning of the song when he was on stage at Woodstock trying to fill time because some of the other artists were late getting there. That's a legendary story of how Richie Havens started Woodstock. But through all that, it sounds like he, I guess, inadvertently changed the words of High Flying Bird.
Yeah. The song, when I wrote it, it was about my father. I had an old man. He lived down at the mines. And when he recorded it, he took the melody out, you know, that rapid fire. And he said, I had me a woman, lived down by the mine. Well, I thought, that is not in there. It shouldn't be in there. It's not right. But unfortunately, a whole lot of folk singers heard it, his version, and they recorded it that way. Judy Hinsky finally did it right, and Janice Ian was really impressed. She was a kid then, and when she heard Judy Hinsky sing it on the radio, she went as soon as the album came out and bought it and said, I had to study the lyrics. So That was quite a thrill coming from her.
And here's a version that you like. It's Isaac Guillory, is that right?
Yes. He was a guitar player, and all the folk singers of the day, the big ones, Judy Collins, whoever, went to England. He always accompanied them. And he died early, unfortunately, but boy, I love his version of it. He didn't do it exactly the way I wrote it, but I didn't mind because he made it his and did it his way, and I loved it.
This is High Flying Bird on WNCW.
Thank you very much.
Taken from a riff stolen from Jerry Reed.
That was.
Here's a song by Billy Ed Wheeler. Lots of different kinds of blues. There's a folk blues. There's a high-flying bird way up in the sky. Sometimes I wonder, does she look down here as she flies on by? Riding up so easy in the sky. Got them sit down, can't fly, can't cry. Lord, I'm gonna die blue. Now the sun comes along, lights up the day. When she gets tired, she just moves right on. Where she lights up the day. Oh, she lights up the day. Yeah, she lights up the day. And when she gets tired, she just moves on away. Now, once I knew a man. And he never saw the sun. Oh Lord, he never stopped trying. One day that man, he just upped and died. Just up to die, 'cause the only way to see the sun, good God, was to die. And the sun comes along, lights up the day. When she gets tired, she just moves right on. To the west she lights up the day. Oh Lord, look at me. I'm rooted like a tree. I got them sit down, can't fly, can't cry. Lord, I'm gonna die. Sit down, can't fly, can't cry. Lord, I'm gonna die. Sit down, can't fly, can't cry. Lord, I'm gonna die blue.
Gilead Wheeler.
That's High Flying Bird, a song written by our guest here on WNCW, Billy Ed Wheeler. I'm Martin Anderson, and Mr. Wheeler, you're a true Appalachian Renaissance man, born in coal country of West Virginia, really cut your teeth a lot here in the Swannanoa, Black Mountain area, and then going up to Yale and New York, spent a lot of time in Nashville, and you've been obviously a songwriter and a singer and a guitarist. You're a painter as well. You're a playwright, right? You've written, what, four or so plays?
I've written about 12 plays.
12 plays, oh my.
Yeah, my first was Hatfields and McCoys, about the feud up in West Virginia. They approached me to write it, and I said, I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to keep the stereotype going of West Virginians being inbred and chewing tobacco and killing each other. And well, the producer said, go to the library and research it. I did, and I found that there was a love story. It was like Romeo and Juliet. The girl that was, she was with the camp, one camp, and he was with the other camp. And they were, their love was surviving while the fighting was going on. Well, the Romeo and Juliet aspect, that sold me. And I told the producer, I said, I'm in. He cackled. He says, I knew once you found out, you would do it. I said, I do get an advance, don't I? He said, well, $10,000. I said, ooh, that'll work.
I'll see. Yeah.
Back then, that was a heap of money.
Uh-huh. Well, so as a playwright and a songwriter and musician, a painter, a poet, and now an author with your new autobiography, which of these vocations would you say is the most rewarding?
All of them. I love painting, but I haven't been doing much because, you know, writing the memoir. But I just I like doing all of them. I'm already starting a new novel. It's called Boston Cowgirl.
All right. Well, so this is a book in the works still?
Yes, I just finished chapter 2 last night.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank
good.
You.
Good. But you have to take a pause now on that book for this big event come April 7th. Sounds like a good time at Warren Wilson. We're speaking with Billy Ed Wheeler here on WNCW, and his book release for Hotter Than a Pepper Sprout is at the, I guess, the Kittredge Theater at
yes.
Warren Wilson
yeah.
in Swannanoa. It's Saturday, April 7th. The event starts at 4 with music and talk and such, and I guess a book signing event as well.
Yep.
For this new autobiography. Congratulations on it once again.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And let's go out with one more tune that you wrote. And this one really speaks to your childhood, especially growing up in West Virginia. And well, why don't you talk about this version, Warren Haynes' version of Cold Tattoo?
Cold Tattoo is my story of a guy leaving coal country because the work is not there anymore. And he's trying to find his way in a world. So it's really upbeat in a way, because he's saying goodbye and he's listening to those rubber tires whine as he leaves coal country looking for a better life.
And Hazel Dickens had a great version back in the day. A number of others have. You've said how many versions do you have?
I have 110 versions on 5 different CDs. They were put together by a lawyer in Lexington, Kentucky, Tony Oppegard. He's a lawyer who specializes in helping miners out in the various parts of Kentucky who maybe got fired for turning in problems at the mine, or the miner gets killed and they're not getting a due process. So that is part of the story. So,
and of all the 110 versions of it, you like this one the best?
Oh yeah, Warren Haynes, absolutely. He does something with it at the end nobody else did. He makes kind of a chorus at the end. And his guitar playing is pretty hot. I wasn't sure my wife, Mary, would really go for it. You know, it wasn't as folksy as my original version. She loved it, and I love it.
Well, that's great, then. 2 thumbs up from the Wheeler household for this version. Billy Ed Wheeler, thanks again for spending time with us.
Thank you for your time.
This cold town road, listening to my rubber tires whine. Goodbye to Buckeye, white sycamore, I'm leaving you behind. I've been a cold man all my life, laying down track in the hole. Got a back like an iron. Strange tattoo you have on the side of your head. I said that's the blueprint left by the cold. A little more and I'll be dead. Oh,
Sing with the angel band.